For the first time in ages, Cress and I actually met up this week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We did. We had a lovely time. And we went to this restaurant and I ordered some wings, didn't I?
Yes.
I ordered some chicken wings. And they turned up and they were covered in sauce. And they brought with them like a little sort of... like a bath for your fingers, didn't they? Like they brought it
to
the table.
Yeah, a little lemony kind of water, just a bit of water, yeah, to clean off the filth.
I thought that was a bit weird. I've never come across that before.
Have you not? Martin, where the hell have you been?
Here's your wings and here's a little thing to dip your fingers in.
Martin, sometimes I wonder, are you of this century? Because that's like quite, that's not an unusual thing to, like, if you've got very messy food. You must have had that, like, with a Chinese...
No, I've never heard of it. I've never washed my hands at the table at which I'm eating in a restaurant before. I think that is weird, and I'd love your thoughts on it. And maybe you can get in touch. We'll give you the details at the very end of this edition of Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome everybody. This is Nolpois. I'm Laura, sometimes called Cress, by Martin over there, because that's my surname.
I think always called Cress, actually. I think I call you Cress probably 70 to 80% of the time.
Yeah, well, that's why I said sometimes. That's what that means, Martin. Yeah, this is a Eurovision fan podcast. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we are trying to learn along with you guys. And it really is ramping up now. We've got lots to talk about in this episode. We're going to be talking about the semi-final allocation draw, also the logo and the slogan. Lots of stuff going on now, isn't there?
There really is. And yeah, there's a slogan and a logo, which is one of our favourite bits of the entire Eurovision. Yeah, because usually we poke fun at it. What shall we do this time? Well, you will find out in just a bit. But first, to some of this week's Eurovision news. And as you say, Cress, it is all ramping up. Armenia, first of all.
Yes, and brunette will be representing...
Is that a brunette or someone called brunette?
It's both, really. It is a brunette called brunette.
Got it.
And that is who Armenia have chosen for Liverpool 2023. Revealed, I have to say, with a dramatic clip on Instagram. There's this clip of brunette and she's wearing all black and white and she's got this words, "I just want to make art," projected just across her body. We don't know the song that brunette's going to be singing yet. We don't know if the music that's included in this Instagram post is going to be the song. So it's hard to know at the moment. We just know brunette for Armenia right now.
Okay, well, good for you, brunette. Armenia got a tough act to follow, of course, because Snap by Rosalind was a previous entry and has just sort of taken the TikTok world by storm. Proof of what you can do, even if you don't win Eurovision.
Well, this is the thing. It's a weird one, really, because it came 20th in the contest, but actually it's got something like 60 million hits on YouTube now, nearly 500 million streams on Spotify, which is crazy. 500 million is nuts. So there you go. It came 20th and still a huge success. Just shows, you know, competing at Eurovision, you don't have to win to do well.
Greece have announced who they're going to be sending to Liverpool, and it's their youngest ever representative. It's 3-year-old, no, sorry, 16-year-old, 16-year-old Victor Verdikas, their youngest ever representative. There's an amazing photo of Victor sort of being victorious in like what looks like a TV news studio. And he's sitting, you know how they have those great big massive news desks where people are really far away from one another? So he's in one chair and then the presenter is on another chair very far away. And they're sort of touching hands, but across a great distance.
It's
they're kind
really
of leaning
weird.
Over. It's very, very awkward.
It's very weird. Why didn't they just move the... the chairs a bit closer together. Yeah, there you go. Victor, like you said, he's only 16 years old, you know, very young, but he's clearly loves music. Apparently, he's been learning the piano and guitar before the age of 8, which I guess would mean when he was 7. We don't know, again, the song. We know the song title. It's going to be called What They Say. That's not been released yet. There have been some leaks on YouTube of what it might be, but we can't confirm whether that actually is the song at the moment, so we won't play it. We'll leave it at that, but you know, have a little look up if and see what you think. But there you go, Victor Vernikos, 16-year-old for Greece.
Austria now. See, these are coming in thick and fast. This
they
is the time
are.
Of year where all this happens and really starts to ramp up. Austria announcing who they are sending. It's a duo. It's Taya and Selena.
Indeed, the first female duo to compete for Austria. 22 years old is Taya, and Selena is 24. So again, reasonably young. They met each other 2 years ago. They were participating in a casting show of Starmania 21. So they are friends. You know, they're not someone who's just been brought together just to create a song. They have known each other for a couple of while. And yet again, we don't know the song for them. That's going to be revealed on the 8th of March, which is International Women's Day.
It is. Just this quote here from Taya, which I think is really sweet. Already as a child, I wanted to go to the Eurovision Song Contest because it embodied the idea that even big dreams can come true, no matter who you are and where you come from. I can hardly wait to get on that stage. Only then, the 7-year-old me will believe that all this is real. Aww. That is so lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. That's nice to see, yeah, artists that are really keen to take part in Eurovision, and it's sort of something they've wanted to do for a while, as opposed to, for example, say, John Lydon, who's participating for Ireland.
Yes, a very good point. By the way, if you missed our last episode of Nul Poir, go and check it out now, because we talked to the hosts of Eurovision, which is an Ireland-based Eurovision fan podcast. It's really good. They've spoken to all of the big names in the Irish selection process. By the time you're listening to this, we will know who Ireland are going to be sending to the Eurovision Song Contest. And full reaction to that, of course, you'll be able to get from us in the next episode. But go and check out what Eurovision are doing, because you'll get some great, great reaction to what is happening in Ireland. Okay, logo and slogan time now, which usually on this podcast, we rip to pieces.
Yeah.
Because it's normally something ridiculous, isn't it? Like, be the magic, feel the inside. Or,
it's never been that, but yes. Spin the magic.
Or define your smooth. I don't know. It's something stupid. Spin the magic, spinning
sound
on the top.
Sound of music. Sound of beauty.
Yeah, the sound of beauty. And I was all very excited to completely rip to shreds the slogan for this year, but I actually think it's kind of quite good.
Yes, so we should say what
shame,
it is.
Really. It's a shame that it's good, because I really wanted it to be rubbish.
It is United by Music. That is the slogan. And they also released a logo as well. Now, I'll say this. It's quite a basic slogan. You know, if you're wanting to think of something about, you know, obviously the UK is hosting this on behalf of Ukraine because of the horrible war that's going on there at the moment, because Ukraine won, the UK came second. So there had to be some, you know, relevance to that and how the UK, you know, is hosting it for Ukraine. And I think they have definitely got that message. I think it is, some people saying it's a little basic, it's a little simple, but I do think it does the job.
It does. And I just think simple's fine. Simple's okay. Don't try and be too clever about it. United by Music, that works well. Some would argue you don't actually need a slogan at all. And just saying that it's the Eurovision Song Contest would probably be fine. But they insist on having one. And so just if you've got to come up with one, then come up with one that's simple and effective. And this is just that. Same thing with the logo, right? So you've got to come up with a logo. You could argue that you could just use the same logo every year. But where's the fun in that?
Where is the fun in that?
Instead, they've come up with another one. And again, I have to say, it's quite nice. And I like it because, again, it's quite simple. It incorporates the Ukrainian flag. And we've always been talking about how are they going to get that Ukrainian influence into the contest, because it is being hosted in the UK. But of course, it was Ukraine's win. So it's how are they going to do it? I noticed that the normal Eurovision logo, you know, the regular Eurovision logo with that little heart in the middle of it, which usually has the flag of the country that's hosting, actually has the Ukrainian flag in it this year, not the UK flag, which I think is a really interesting move and just another nod to Ukraine's heavy influence.
They won it. They are the winners.
Well, yeah, this is it. I assumed that it was who's the host city got to have their flag in the logo, but maybe it's the who won it last time. I don't know. Before I read you this little comment from Martin Green, who's the person in charge of the Eurovision at the BBC, talking about the logo, how would you describe it, Cress? This logo here.
So, I mean, I agree, by the way. I really like it as well. I think it looks great. And a lot of people have commented how the background is yellow, which we don't normally get. It's normally kind of a darker colour and then a bright logo. And obviously that makes sense with, the yellow of the Ukrainian flag. It's sort of a collection of hearts. It's kind of like a heartbeat timeline, and there's a big heart in the middle, and there's all lots of different hearts joined together. So again, that's got the kind of united by music, and it's very bright, vibrant colours. There's a bright blue and a darker blue and a bright pink and a yellow, and it's very eye catching.
Yeah, and the Ukrainian colours of the Ukrainian flag again coming through very, very loudly there. It's not just a big Ukraine flag. It's sort of subtle, but also at the same time very, very obvious that they're using a colour scheme based on the Ukrainian flag. Really, really important that just keeps on coming through in whatever they do through this. I think a lot of people will be very happy to see that. Here's this quote then. Martin Green, CBE, the managing director of the Eurovision Song Contest at the BBC. He said the 2023 Eurovision Song Contest will be a truly special event. And the creative look is a big part of creating that magic. This year's identity sums up perfectly the amazing partnerships across the contest, and more importantly, the power of music to bring people together across the world. So again, emphasizing that sort of togetherness and which is what the slogan does as well. Who else have we got here? We've got a creative director from this is Stuart Radford and Katharina Tudball said, "We are thrilled to create the 67th Eurovision Song Contest visual identity in partnership with Ukrainian agency Starlight."
Imagine if you said they weren't, if they were like,
"We've had a terrible time doing it." No,
we weren't bothered about doing this.
The team was awful. For this year's theme, United by Music, our solution was inspired by research. Oh, great. Showing that when experiencing live music together, human hearts synchronize to beat in unison. Okay, I knew there was going to be some nonsense.
Here we go.
Here's the rubbish.
Is.
This insight led to the creative concept of 160 million hearts beating as one. An idea that captures the universal spirit of Eurovision. Okay, load of all nonsense
there.
Yeah,
loads of rubbish there.
Thank you all the same. I love the fact that they've
said... They've got a load of hearts together. Come on.
Yeah, they have. And we've been inspired by research. Great.
What research did they get?
Completely and utter nonsense. I was ready for something to go ridiculous. I was very ready for that. Complete nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense.
But overall, though, big fan of that.
I would agree. And I think it just shows sort of how seriously it's all been taken. Even this kind of bit of nonsensey stuff. I honestly, sometimes I'm thinking to myself, am I being biased because it's the UK? And if it was another country, would I be looking at that and being like, well, that is rubbish. But I do genuinely like it. I do like it.
This is Noel Poir, your Eurovision fan podcast with me, Martin, and Laura Cress over there. And we got loads to come, actually. It's a jam-packed show.
It is.
Going to be talking about the allocation show now.
Yes, the allocation, the semi-final allocation draw.
Yeah, which is normally a kind of fairly muted affair where not very much happens and they just pull out some balls like in the football pools. But this time it all just went to, they just really ramped it up about 500 notches.
Yeah, and again, another thing where I was like, my goodness, they've really, you know, pulled it out of the bag here. Like they've taken this pretty seriously. This this all took place in Liverpool, of course, at, I think it's at St. George's Hall, it's called, in Liverpool. Very grand ceremony. Rylan and AJ Adudu were presenting it. It was broadcast on BBC Two. You could watch it. Did you watch it, Martin? I did watch it. I thought it was a really good show, actually, considering it's just a draw.
I actually watched it on mute, which is... I think sometimes the best way to consume Ryland, but
very harsh.
Especially
I love
his
Ryland.
Radio show. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good, as you say, and a sort of a very. They threw a lot of money at it, which is surprising because all it really is like an official handover from Turin to the UK to Liverpool, which happened, and then going through who's going to appear where in the semi-finals, and like that is all it is. Really?
Yes. But... So what they did, they lit up St. George's Hall from the outside with the Eurovision colours, which looked really cool. It was all very slick and quite emotional, actually. They had some little bits. There was a sort of little insert they did, which went along the idea of You'll Never Walk Alone, which is obviously a big song sung by Liverpool FC fans, has a lot of meaning and resonance in Liverpool, and obviously makes a lot of sense with the whole Ukraine, UK hosting for them. But they also did, and this, a lot of Eurovision fans, when I was looking on Twitter, really liked this. They did, Scott Mills did a little bit where he was talking about Eurovision and how it's grown throughout the years, and they showed the same old sort of, you know, tired clips of ABBA and Waterloo. But then he said, but this is where Eurovision is at right now, and started talking about modern Eurovision and how that's grown. And that was really, and I think that resonated with a lot of people, you know, the Eurovision fans who are tired of seeing all these references maybe to, obviously it's great to reference, you know, where Eurovision has gone and been and the greats of Eurovision, but let's move on. Let's think about modern, you know, it's a modern show. You know, Rosalind has got 500 million listens on Spotify. It is something to, you know, that modern singers can enjoy and have a success out from. So I think that was really great to see that. So they had a couple of these little things. And then, like you say, they had the bit where they the hosts did the draw itself. And I have to say, a lot of people were rating Rylan as well. And the fact that after every single time he was just giving these facts out about the countries, you know, where they were or different things. And I don't think, I'd be interested to see what people think about this, but I don't think he had that written down anywhere because he wouldn't have known which country to pick. You know, it wasn't, I don't know, maybe he did have it written down, but it seemed like he just knew these things. He was really in tune with it.
Well, it's either very, very good on Rylan or very, very good on the production team putting that show together or somewhere in between. Shall I go through then the, shall I go through the first semi-finals? Oh, okay. I'll do it quickly.
Do it as quickly as you can. And I'll try to do it as quickly as I can for the second.
Okay.
So there's 15 countries in the first, 16 for the second. So go for the 15.
Starting with the first half of the show, Croatia, Ireland, Latvia, Malta, Norway, Portugal, Serbia. Second half of the show, Azerbaijan, Czech Republic, Finland, Israel, Moldova, Netherlands, Sweden, Switzerland. And then, of course, you've got the big five not performing, of course, in the semi-finals, but they get the chance to vote in only one of them. And in the first semi-final, the big five countries who can vote are France, Germany and Italy. To the second semi-final, please, Cressy.
Second semi-final, of course, that's going to be on Thursday, 11th of May. So first half of the show, Armenia, Belgium, Cyprus, Denmark, Estonia, Greece, Iceland, Romania. Second half of the show, Albania, Australia, Austria, Georgia, Lithuania, Poland, San Marino, Slovenia. And then the big five countries voting during the second semi-final, Spain, Ukraine and the UK.
All right. What do you make of that? because I'm looking through, and it's difficult to tell at the moment, right? Because it's we don't know a lot of the songs.
Yes.
But what do you make of it based on anything you can glean?
Yeah, now I think there was a bit of, when I was looking again on the socials, a lot of people saying, and I kind of agree with them, that semi-final one, I love this phrase by ESC Dean Anthony, who said, semi-final one is stacked in the sense that there's a lot of generally heavy hitters, people who tend to do pretty, countries who tend to do pretty well in Eurovision. You know, the likes of, you've got Sweden, you've got Portugal that tend to do pretty well. You've got quite a lot of big heavy hitters in the first semi-final. Not so much in the second semi-final. Although, again, the point is we don't know the song, so there could be good songs in there. But yeah, a lot of people saying it's going to be a tough one in the first semi-final, which makes me worry for Ireland, who in recent years have not been able to get through to the final. And I do worry, you know, whether that, you know, the UK isn't voting for them either. The UK's voting in the second semi-final. We do tend to, you know, vote for Ireland being kind of neighbouring a bit. So they might be a little bit in trouble there.
That can be a real issue as well, not just for Ireland, but for strong songs. You can have a semi-final that's full with, I remember this happening last year.
It did, yeah.
There was one semi-final that was just clearly stronger than the other. And so loads and loads of the really good songs couldn't get through. But then loads of kind of naff ones that were in semi-final two or whatever it was, the worst one, which I think was semi-final two last year, just kind of seemed to go through, and you think, oh, but couldn't we not have had that one from semi-final one instead of that?
Yeah, I know, it could have gone through. So this is don't forget, of course, this year that there won't be juries voting in the semi-finals. It's all going to be public. What that will mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But I do think it's going to be a tough one in semi-final one. Not to say that there won't be some good, you know, good stuff in semi-final two, but yeah, it seems to be pretty tough.
Now, we got correspondence now, which we'll do. Just very quickly, a bit of housekeeping before we get on to correspondence. Number one, thank you for Flop That Euro Bop. Thank you, Luke. Who has sent us a Flop That Euro Bop. I think we're going to do that next time because we've had a lot to get through today and we want to bring you everything that we can. But honestly, thank you so much. And we do enjoy this. If you want to do it, it's just a lot of fun. You just sing a Eurovision song really badly and we have to guess
that's it.
What
it is. It doesn't even have to be much of it. Just literally 10 seconds.
And details of how you can send that to us coming up just a little bit later. But we also wanted to just talk about how frequently we are bringing you these Eurovision podcasts. We have decided that we are going to be moving now to do the podcast in a slightly different way. We're hoping to bring you loads more guests. We're hoping to bring you loads more of what you love hearing on Nul Poir. But rather than doing it weekly, we're going to be doing it once a fortnight. So we're only going to be dropping into your feeds for the next little while anyway. I'm sure we're going to ramp up as we get closer to May. But for the next little while anyway, we're going to be bringing you the podcast fortnightly rather than weekly, which is something that we decided whilst I had my hands in a little bath of chicken wing sauce.
It wasn't a bath. It was just a little bowl. Don't make out that they brought you a huge bath and you were just there like, ooh. But yeah, so what that does mean, we want to do maybe more of a bit of an emphasis on interviews than news updates, because we know you get your news elsewhere and you're listening to us more for kind of us and the people we bring on the show than for news updates. But, you know, I will say what that might mean is that we do end up doing more things in between at a slightly lower production value for the Patreons. So if you're thinking, hang on a minute, I've been paying for this and yet there's going to be fewer episodes now. Well, you will still get stuff, you know, when we record them. So you will still get stuff 24 hours at least beforehand. But it'll probably mean we might just do little reactions to things. But with, you know, it might just be off our phones. It might not be from our kind of microphones. But you might just get little extra things. For example, maybe our reaction to Ireland's entries when that comes out. So if you're interested in maybe taking part in that a little bit more, feel free to check out our Patreon stuff. We'll update that a bit more. But yeah, patreon.com/nullpoir. And thank you to everyone who's been helping us out with that so far. So I guess that's where it's going to be at. We're not going to be doing it as frequently, but hopefully just a bit more better quality and more kind of interesting stuff to get you involved. So that'll be the next one after this, 19th of Feb, you'll be hearing from us.
To the correspondents now, and thank you so much for getting in touch. Loads of people have, and a lot of people reacting to that allocation draw, which we've been talking about on the podcast. Zapperfan, first of all, talking about the draw, says tactful commentary by Ryland. See, a lot of praise for Ryland regarding Ireland, and this is a sort of quote of what Ryland said, which Zapperfan has sent me. This is a country that knows how to win Eurovision, is what Ryland says, to which Zapperfan says, lost the knack of qualifying, though, once in the last decade. Oh, come on, Zapperfan.
It's true, though. It is true. And I did find that quite funny when Ryland said that. I was like, okay, you're being very kind to Ireland there, but fair enough. It was a good point, though. But these were the facts that Ryland kept coming out with. And I'm sure Ryland would be having some kind of role, won't he, in the hosting of actual Eurovision. I hope AJ does as well. She was good fun. Blue Zone, we were talking about on our Twitter, we tweeted about how we thought it was a very slick presentation in general, and Blue Zone says, I agree, I'm very impressed.
The logo is something that we've been talking about as well, and our good friend Rob Watts, who has been on this podcast before,
yes,
and very often accompanies us to Eurovision, says got yes. in touch about that and says about the logo, it's cool. Nice to see the gold and blue of the Ukrainian flag slipped in with the pink and navy. That's true, you see, and that's what they've done. Very, very subtle, but very clever.
Indeed, yeah, it was good. Brandon Martin also had stuff to say on the logo, said the colour choices are perfect, with a little bit of pink feels just right.
And finally, this is from Undeniably Alex, who says, I love it. This is the logo. I love it. It's really stark, and the colours pop.
They certainly pop. Do. Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. They it's didn't okay. say that bit at the end. But if you do want to get in touch with us when we're talking about all this kind of stuff, we're at PoisNull on Twitter. We are also NullPoi podcast on Instagram. Thanks to Luke, who along with the Flop the Eurobop as well, gave us some thoughts by email, which you can also do, nullpoipodcast@gmail.com. Talked about our chat with Eurovision, said it was really lovely, and says, I'm predicting a Wild Youth win, and they have a fair shot at qualification. While the lyrics aren't exactly revolutionary, the song's catchy and anthemic. Also gave some thoughts about Germany as well, Martin.
Yeah, saying this, I thought I'd mention Germany, as like Ireland, they've certainly stepped up. In fact, Concrete Heart is one of my favourite songs of this year. Sounds quite a lot like Bastille or Imagine Dragons.
Of course.
I've got to investigate that, I think.
Yeah, more. So Luke. Germany obviously haven't picked their song yet or their entrant, but they've got the sort of finalists of that, and we'll be hearing more of that in March. But there you go. If you want to get in touch, there's a lot to talk about this episode. The logo, the slogan, what do you think about the new entrants that have been announced, Armenia, Greece, Austria, and what did you think of the BBC's allocation draw program. It's worth saying, by the way, the BBC did announce a little bit about when we're going to get the UK entry. Early March, they said, it's expected to be confirmed. So we haven't got too long for that either.
No, keep your eyes peeled, and we will too, and we'll convene and chat about that as and when it happens, which is, I think, is going to be really interesting stuff. As always, keeping you up to date with everything that you need to know here on NullPoi. We're going to see you not next week, but the week after.
Yes.
Have a lovely, lovely time. Whatever you're getting up to, do continue to get in contact with us. And we'll see you again, I reckon, on the next edition of
NullPoi!